is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He has risen and conquered sin and death.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is
risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He has risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He has risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Well, happy Easter, church. Here we are, and we get to celebrate our risen Savior this morning, and I have been looking forward to this day. It is not at all how we expected it was going to be just a few months ago, but here we are, and as with a lot of things over these past few weeks, there have been a lot of firsts. And this is the first time here I am. I'm in the sanctuary, and you're not here, and I'm really missing you and wish you were here, and I'm remembering and just thinking about what it would normally be like as we're all gathered together, and we're getting to sing Christ the Lord is risen today with everything that we've got, because this morning we are celebrating that which is at the foundation of what the Christian faith is all about, that our Savior is alive, that he is no longer in the grave. And so I don't know where you're coming at and watching this from, whether you're here in the Colonial Park area, in West Hanover, maybe in Susquehanna Township, maybe you're over the mountain in Fishing Creek Valley or over in Dolphin, or maybe you're in Hummelstown or Hershey or somewhere else beyond that. This morning, though, it doesn't really matter. We have every reason to have hope and to have joy, and that is because Jesus is alive. It's a big deal. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, and he said, this is a matter of first importance. And here's what he said. He said, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And so around our house, we love to just have a good time. And today I'm looking forward to our time together as a family, and I hope that we're going to be out there hunting some Easter eggs and having a good meal together, and I hope that you are too. But a few weeks ago, maybe it was just last week actually, it was April 1st, and what's April 1st? It's April Fool's Day, right? And so we like to have some fun, and there were a few pranks that were done on each other, and Nathan, my youngest, he had some fun, and he made some cupcakes that had some sriracha sauce down in the middle of them, covered up by icing. But then we decided we wanted to have fun and try to get Kristen. And so, watch this video, and here's a little bit of what we did.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Oh. What did you do? Did you get that video?
Bro!
I was trying to shoot Nathan, and it hit the TV.
Don't touch it.
Mom, we're doing that on video.
Honey.
What? I just shot you.
Oh my word, it's not.
That's gonna like catch the house on fire.
No, it's not. It's the pixels on the TV.
Bro.
There's not even a mark on there.
Yeah, it's right there. It won't even turn on.
Give it a minute. Unplug it. Plug it back in.
I don't know if you could tell, but what we did there was we tried to make her think that I had broken the TV and that it was messed up. What's the best part of a prank, right? The best part of a prank is seeing someone's face whenever they think that something has gone wrong or you've done something to them, and then to see how they respond to it at the end of it. Well, we've been looking for the truth of what we get to celebrate today on Resurrection Sunday, in that Jesus is alive, as we've journeyed through this Lenten season and this series that we've entitled Upside Down. And we've been looking forward to this revealing of the fact that Jesus is no longer in the tomb and that he is alive and that he did everything that he said he was going to do, and all that he claimed to be is true. And so this morning, just to help us lead into this resurrection story, I want you to watch this video. And maybe here's a little bit of what Peter may have been thinking during this time as he reflected on Jesus.
Over there, that's where we fell asleep when he asked us to pray. And over there, that's where he was kneeling when they came and grabbed him. I came in, wielding my sword. I cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, reacting exactly the way Jesus had told us not to. But you know what he did? He picked up the ear of that servant, and he put it right back on his head, like it had been there all along. That's what he does. He fixes everyone's messes. You know, on that night, when they came and they took him, I denied that I knew him. I denied that I knew my friend. Not once, not twice, but three times I denied him. He even told me I was going to do it. Like an idiot, I argued with him. But he was right. He's always right. He even did that with his death. He told us it was going to happen before it happened. But you know what he did when he came to life? He gave me the opportunity to tell him I loved him. Three times. I think he did that because he knew that me denying him, well, that was my biggest regret. That's what he does. He turns things. Because when it settles here, it changes. It changes here. He turns everything upside down. That's why what happened that night, it doesn't matter. Because what happened that morning changed everything. He beat death. Death. He's alive. Alive.
Well, guys, let's take our Bibles. And let's turn to John chapter 20. And let's read this resurrection account for ourselves as John records it. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Here's what John writes. He says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' And so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." And then the disciples went back to their homes. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come together and as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and that you would help us to see and help us to understand and help us to be aware of the goodness and the greatness and the hope that there is because you are alive. Lord, we thank you for your kindness to us in these days. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, in just these few brief moments that we have together, I want to ask you to consider, what is it that this other disciple, who many believe is John, the disciple who's writing this account, I want you to ask you to consider what he did as he stooped in to look at this. Imagine what these disciples are going through, especially over these past 3 days. Over these past 3 years, though, they had seen all kinds of signs and wonders. They'd seen Jesus perform miracles. They'd heard him teach with an authority like they had never heard anyone speak before. This one who claimed to be the promised Messiah, who God had sent to save them. He had just been crucified a cruel and awful and a horrific death like other criminals, and their lives had been turned upside down. He had told them that he was going to die, and just as he said, it had happened, but he had also told them that they would see him again. In John chapter 16, verse 16, he says this, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again in a little while you will see me." What does that mean? How do you even understand that? He also said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." These things that he said throughout the times is like, didn't really understand and couldn't understand. What is it that Jesus is saying? More than likely, their worlds had been turned upside down, and I believe that John and the other disciples were in that time of fear, in that time of weeping. I'm sure there was all kinds of lamenting and wondering what was next as Jesus was there and he was lying dead in a tomb. But look what happens next, and that's what we get to celebrate, and that's what we're celebrating today. John tells us that it was on the first day of the week, not the third day after the crucifixion, but there is something that is beginning now. There is something new that is happening, and it's early in the morning, and it's still dark, and Mary goes to the tomb, probably with the other ladies, and they see that the stone's rolled away. And she goes and she runs and she says, "I gotta go tell the other disciples." And so she runs back and she finds Peter, and we believe it's John, and tells them that somebody has taken Jesus' body. What has happened? We don't know. Whether it's the religious authorities, whether it's the grave robbers, we don't know. All that she knows is that Jesus is gone, and Jesus isn't there anymore. And so what happens? What are we told? But Peter and John, that they run to the tomb, and I love how John tells the story, and he talks about how they started out together, but hey, I beat him there. And here's what I want us to see, and I want us to journey through and just think through the process that we see John going through here. We're told that he stoops in to look. He sees the linen cloths, but that Jesus had been wrapped in as he was lying there, but he doesn't go in. But then we're told that Peter goes in and he sees the linen cloths lying there along with the face cloth. And then John follows Peter in and he decides to go in. And as he does, he sees the linen cloths lying there, but then he sees a little bit more as he goes in. He sees the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, nicely folded up and placed by itself. And what does it tell us that he does? But he says that he sees this and he believes. Do you notice what it is that takes him over the edge to belief? It's not that Jesus wasn't there, but that the grave clothes were there. For many others, they would believe because they saw Jesus alive. But John seems to believe before he even sees Jesus alive. He stepped into the tomb and he saw for himself that the grave clothes were there, but Jesus wasn't there, and he knew and he believed and he understood. And there's all kinds of theories out there that have been put forward as to ways to explain away the resurrection. But the deal is that whenever you look more closely at any of those theories, none of those theories prove that the resurrection never happened. And the one thing that the religious leaders of the day could have done that would have proven the fact that Jesus was still dead, like all the others who had died, was to come up with Jesus' body, but They could never do it because Jesus had risen from the dead. The last verse tells us that Jesus was once again doing what he had come to do, and that was fulfill Scripture. This wasn't an option. The disciples didn't yet understand, but John tells us once again that this was all part of God's plan. Church, this morning, we get to celebrate Jesus as our risen King. He is alive. Our Savior has conquered the grave. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. He has conquered sickness. He is alive and he is reigning over all creation. Jesus has done and has done just as he promised. Jesus has risen from the dead just as he said he would. We can be confident that he will always do as he has promised. He's given us everything that we need to know. He's given us, and he has even told us, that what is yet to come. Because Jesus lives, we can know the living Christ is not a false prophet, that he's not an imposter, he's not a fake, but he is the real deal. And we can be certain of the resurrection because he is alive. We can be certain that he is trustworthy because he has always been true to his word. We can follow him wherever and whenever he leads us because he never leads us wrong. We can trust him even in the smallest things, and we can trust him in the big things in our lives and in the midst of these days and what we're going through right now. Your world may be turned upside down. You may be stressed out. You may be worried. You may be at a loss in regards to what's to come and how to handle it. There may be fear. But even in the midst of these days, in our lives, in the hardest of trials, we can know that better days are yet to come because Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive, we see it and we sing it, we can face tomorrow. And we can know that he can take the darkest of nights and he can do a miracle where they become and they turn into days of the greatest delights. Nothing is impossible with God, and he takes the darkest of times, and out of them he is alive and he is working. It's all because he lives that we have hope and that we have new life. And behind me we see the cross. And the cross matters because of the resurrection. There's a whole lot of people who died on crosses. But Jesus is the only one who came back to life. He's the only one who willingly gave his life. He's the only one who is innocent and died for the guilty. He's the only one who is the Son of God. He's the only one who took upon himself the sins of the world, your sins, my sins. And he paid the penalty that we deserve. And he's the only one who rose from the dead. He's the only one who's seated next to the Father, and he's interceding on our behalf. That means that he's there and he's fighting for us. In the midst of all of our lives and the things that we go through and our failures, there he is, and he is fighting for us even right now. And he's the only one before whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And he's the only one whom every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, this is Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus shows us the powerful power of God, and that nothing is impossible with him. It shows us that Jesus' every word is true, and there is never a time, not even now, that you can't trust him. And he is with us. The resurrection tells us that he is with us, and that we have nothing to fear. It means that through him, the old life can become new. And there's no one, there is no situation too far gone. Friends, this morning, are you trusting in him? Do you know that joy in your hearts? This past week, as we were studying through Philippians in our study on Wednesday night and on Tuesday with the teens, we've been journeying through Philippians chapter 1, and we're here, and Paul is sitting there under house arrest, and a lot of stuff has been stripped away. And he's saying, even in the midst of the hardest places, I can know joy. And the question is this: how can he know joy in the hardest of places that he is sitting in and one of them being. And he says it's all because of Jesus. How is it that we can know joy in the midst of these days? And I don't know what it is that you're facing. But how is it that you can know joy? You can know joy in Jesus no matter what. Even when everything else is stripped away, Jesus is the source of our joy. And so this morning, are you trusting in him? I want you to know that you can, and what we celebrate, that Jesus is alive, makes all the difference. And it's the only reason that we can have any hope. This morning, maybe you're in the position of John, and you're just stooping to look in the grave, and you're just curious and what's going on and what happened, and you're not sure what this whole empty tomb means and why it is such a big deal. I want to invite you to come in. Would you come in and would you see? Would you come in a little closer and consider what this empty tomb means? And I believe that as you step into the empty tomb and see for yourself, you're going to find and you're going to believe that Jesus is worth following, that he is worth trusting as you experience his presence, as you see. Jesus said that he would rise from the grave, and he did. And he also told us that he was going to come again. For all those who have turned in repentance from their faith and who are trusting in him for forgiveness and have given their lives to following after him as their Savior King. I want to ask you, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that time whenever he comes again? Are you ready for his return? And if you're here this morning and you haven't yet turned to Jesus in repentance and placed your faith in him for the forgiveness of sins this morning, I want to invite you to do so, because I want you to know that Jesus has paid the price for your sins on the cross once and for all. And he bids you to come and he bids you to follow him, and he wants you to know the forgiveness. He wants you to know the redemption. He wants you to know the peace, the joy, the healing, the eternal life that you can have and know him as the lover of your soul. He loves you. And he's saying, would you surrender your life to following after me? Guys, you can be sure that better days are ahead. Guys, we might be going through this now, but better days are ahead. And as you face trials and hardship in the coming years, I want you to know better days are ahead because Jesus is alive. So I want to encourage you, follow him, trust him. Turn your life over to him. If there's one thing that we are reminded by going through these days and this virus and how it is affecting those who get sick, and many are dying, how can we not be reminded of our mortality and the reality that the day is going to come whenever we die? And the question is, are you ready? And I want you to know that there is hope because Jesus is alive and he is there waiting, and he's inviting you to come and turn to him in faith. And so this morning, if you would place your faith in Jesus Christ, and this would be the time, and you want to do that, I want to just, it's a simple thing, just a prayerful, a heart praying and saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Lord, please, would you please forgive me? And thank you. And so let's pray, you know, let's bow our heads. And if that's you, I want to encourage you just to pray this as a prayer this morning, a prayer of commitment to following him and receiving his grace. Just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. And just take a moment and just think through, you know, with those things that come to your mind right now, those things that you've done wrong. And just bring them to God right now. And just ask him for his forgiveness. Say, please forgive me. I now turn from everything that is wrong, that I know is wrong. And I want to thank you. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be set free. And I thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. And so I now receive that gift. Lord, please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the hope that we can have and that we can know in our hearts, because you are alive. And we have every reason to sing. We have every reason to laugh. We have every reason to have hope and joy and peace in these days, because you are alive. God, you know the hurt, you know the pain, you know the struggles that there are amongst us, Lord. God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, our risen Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, church, it has been so good to be together today. And if you've made a decision to follow after Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you please just let me know? You know, send me an email, send me a text, or however, contact me. We'd love to celebrate and follow up with you. And it's the best news that we could, any of us could receive today, is to know that you've made a decision to follow after Christ and are trusting in him. Church, before we go, I want us to just take some time to pray and pray together in regards to three ways. Specifically this morning, one is I just pray for our families, pray for our families where there have been some adjustments that need to be made as people are working from home, and some parents are now needing to teach children, and children are no longer in schools and they have transitioned to learning in home and the dynamics that go there. And so we want to pray for those. I want to ask you to pray along with us in regards to praying for the vulnerable in our community and those who are struggling, especially, and those who are especially vulnerable to this virus, pray for their protection. And then also I want to ask you to pray in regards to our healthcare workers and our first responders and those who are on the front lines during these days as they face caring for those who are sick. And we just ask for their protection. So I've asked three people to lead us in praying for that. And so let's join together, and then as we go, have a great Easter.
Hi everybody, what's going on, Devonshire Church family? My name is Grace Baumgardner, and Derek asked me to pray for the students, the teacher, the staff, all of the families and parents. So would you mind bowing your head, closing your eyes, and joining me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now with a huge request that only you can grant. Many people are going through hard times right now, parents being laid off, family members not losing their jobs. We know it's really hard right now. We know especially for the teachers and the parents transitioning to online learning, that is a challenge, and kids can be really stressful sometimes. So I pray for the kids and the parents and the teachers. Please give the kids the growth mindset and the preparation for what you have the teachers teaching them. Please help them to spend some time in your word, learning from you as well. Please give everyone patience at this time and just learning different processes. Thank you for always being patient with us and always allowing us to learn new things. We love you and we praise you. Thank you for each blessing that you present to us. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning, church. Let us pray. Dear loving God, we thank you for the healthcare professionals, the emergency workers, and all the essential workers who are working tirelessly to ensure we have all the basic needs we require at this time. We ask you for your mighty protection, safety, guidance, and courage, as well as understanding. Give them strength of mind and body. May they know our deepest gratitude for the selfless service. Help them to give compassion and hope to those that they serve. May this be an opportunity to share Christ, and may your unfailing love shine through all that they do. We pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Hey, Devonshire. This is Brent. I miss being with everybody, as I know all of you do, but I wanted to take just a minute and pray with you. Specifically for those that are feeling the effects of this virus, who are most at risk. And so let's lift them up in prayer together today. Lord, as we come to you today, we want to just remember and pray for those who are most at risk, who are most sensitive to the effects of this virus, Lord, for those that are in the hospital already, for those that are dealing with illnesses of any kind, whose immune systems are low. Lord, we pray that you would watch over their bodies, Lord, that you would shield them and protect them from any compromise or any effects being introduced to this virus, Lord, for our young and vulnerable population, for the children and the babies and things like that. Lord, we pray that you would, we know that you love and protect children, Lord, that they have a special place in your heart, and we pray that you would watch over them and fight for them, Lord, and for our elderly population, those that are 65 and older, that are very vulnerable to this virus, Lord, especially for those in nursing homes and different shut-ins and places where they may not necessarily be in control of their day-to-day activities, where this can be so confusing and isolating. Lord, we pray that you would not only protect them from this virus, not only grant them health and strength, Lord, but that you would grant them a sense of peace, a sense of love, knowing that their family loves them, but Lord, knowing that you love them, that you are there for them. God, we look to you for all things, for strength, for healing, for provision and protection. Lord, we look to you. And in times of great uncertainty like this, Lord, we pray that that not only ourselves, but our world would see a bigger picture of you, see a picture of a God who is in control, a God who knows the outcomes and knows the results. Lord, that we can drop our false sense of security and look to you for everything, Lord. In your name we pray.
Amen. Should we start as soon as it's over? Should I
go? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Is it he?
He is risen.